Welcome to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. This week's episode, I'm going to have a discussion with Kianis K from Jedox to talk about budgeting, which is probably going on in many of your companies today, or at least maybe you're planning for it. And today's episode is called, Are You a Winner in the Budget Season? I don't know if you all feel like losers or winners during the budget season, but it's really a process that takes up a lot of time. And perhaps many of us feel like whenever we're done, it's kind of outdated fast. And was it really all worth it? So really looking forward to that. So let's kick things off. This article is sponsored by Jedox. This show is sponsored by Jedox. Jedox is the world's most adaptable planning and performance management platform. They succeed with integrated business planning. So it goes beyond finance, let's say. And they've written an ebook on the topic, which you can also find a link to download on today's article. So it's here again, kind of comes around every year. It's the budget season and it kind of blocks the finance department for a few months at best and is cause for great frustration. Don't get me wrong, the budget process can also be fun, a great learning opportunity, and a chance to connect with business leaders around the company. At least I remember a good few budget seasons where we traveled to a few places and had some good discussions, but also some nice dinners and some wine and dining as well. So it can go both ways. The frustration is rather related to the outcome of the budget process, let's say. So let's consider three specific ones. One, it would be great if the final number was the one that everyone could agree to and had maximum motivation to achieve. This is rarely the case though. Often it ends up being a negotiated number that no one can really see themselves in. And as such, they perhaps pursue a different agenda. It would also be great if the final number represented a meaningful outlook for the coming financial year. Unfortunately, as we know it, it's already outdated once it's settled upon. Finally, it would be great if the resources distributed during the process were given to the high ROI return on investment projects with a real chance of delivering. But no, that doesn't happen either. Instead, resources are spread evenly across many departments and projects, suffocating the good ones and wasting money on the bad ones. I mean, if you disagree to this, we're happy to hear from you a bit later. But at least this is what I see in many places and have experienced myself as well. Yet, despite all the agreed flaws of the budget process, we keep doing it over and over again. Each year, we conduct a poll on LinkedIn to check how many companies still have budgets. The results are very one-sided. 9 out of 10 companies still have budgets. Run it twice. I think the first time it said 93%, the second time 86% is probably within reasonable variance. So 9 out of 10 there. So why is it that this 100-year-old process keeps roaming free in companies across the world? And what could be done differently to finally be a winner in the budget season? So there was an old saying from one of my old favorite managers. He said, I don't know if he came up with himself or he got it from someone else. It doesn't really matter. He said, the plan is the plan is the plan. So when the going got tough and priorities came into question, he always referred to the plan we had for the year. And with good reason, perhaps because most companies are complex and changing the direction is not something that should be done without careful consideration. In addition, a lot of thought has been put into the budget, not just by finance, but by all departments. And it's not just the financial plan, but also operational plans, sales plans, marketing plans, and so on. Hence, changing the plan has a lot of consequences for the whole organization. This shouldn't be an excuse for repeating a process we all agree is suboptimal. That's called insanity as we know it. Instead, we should explore alternatives that allow us to keep what's good about budgeting while dealing with what's causing us a lot of headaches. Kianis, are you able to speak? We can get some perspectives as well. So maybe I'll just throw the question to you in terms of the budget process. I mean, it's more than 100 years old, by now invented by James McKinsey back in the 20s of the last century. Why do you think we're still having this process sort of guide everything we do in the company?
Yeah, I mean, eventually it's always based, I guess, also a little bit on the share and stakeholders. So, of course, if you like, for example, look at the banks or look at the stock markets, they always want to see some sort of fixed plan. So I think it's a little bit still from historical views. And then, of course, it also brings in some strategy alignment so that you basically get all the departments, cross-departmental functions to talk to each other. So it does make sense, but it should not go out to a certain extent because otherwise it would basically, not be of any value add.
No, that makes perfect sense. So do you mentioned, you know, banks and investors, perhaps, and other stakeholders, but wouldn't they also benefit from getting a more, let's say, flexible and an agile approach, considering the change we see in the world today compared to 100 years ago? I mean, does it help them even to get a once a year fixed number for something?
That's the thing. So that's where the transformation basically starts. So of course, there are like ideas of you have new budget idea, like beyond budgeting, zero-based budgeting. You have the ideas of rolling forecasts. And so that's where you definitely see the need of the business to be more flexible, more agile. And this is just something which you can then also try to sell them. It's like part of the change process. I mean, looking at bigger companies, they do eventually do live this change. So, I mean, like, for example, you have big companies in Germany where at the Controls Association in May, they were like discussing that they kind of got rid of the budget process, but rather switched over to adaptive format of planning. So it's like a more agile form of planning. So there is a movement in this budgeting. I mean, as you also said, in the 9 out of 10 companies still have budgets. I mean, you see that there are people actually switching over to rather more agile processes.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've definitely been a part of the movement myself for the past 10 years, but I think at large, we still struggle to see that real change. And one thing you mentioned, Kenneth, was kind of the selling of the idea, maybe both to external stakeholders, but maybe also inside the company from the finance department into other teams. Before we continue, do you have any kind of advice on what we can do to better sell better processes, so to speak?
I mean, it's basically, I always consider the budgeting or the forecasting is like always a storytelling of how we reach our goals, how to establish the change or the strategy changes, also making it measurable. So basically, we have a whole bunch of different metrics that we can use and track on a regular basis. And if you do so in a rolling forecast, it's good to sell the benefit, because you can always say, well, let's see if we change our strategy. How do we measure it? How do we track it? And for that, we need a more agile process. So it's basically explaining the value add which you have. It's also emphasizing like the business partner role. It's like seeing finance role pretty much as a conductor, like orchestrating this whole budget process, or also like giving feedback on did the measures which were taken have any effect on the business in a positive or negative way. And that's a way of how to basically also sell this as a value, switching from the fixed budget process into some sort of rolling integrated planning.
Thanks for sharing that. I think that's very helpful, Kenneth. We'll get back to some of your insights later. We'll just continue a little bit here with today's article. So when it comes to planning, I mean, we shared earlier also together with Jedox kind of a view on how integrated business planning could be a better approach and perhaps create a stronger link between the company's different planning processes. However, you know, what about the forecasting and the target setting? I mean, there's a lot of processes right now being part of the budget process. So, I mean, forecasting, it really should be a quick exercise, and using the right methods and tools, you should be able to do a full reforecast of your business in less than a week. And I'm sure Kianos can tell us good examples of that as well. So build a driver-based model, and you can even do some quick simulations in a heartbeat. Imagine how much work that would eliminate during a budget process. I mean, sure, you need to discuss the numbers, but simply getting a good updated view on what the numbers should be shouldn't be a big complicated exercise. And as for target setting, there are no two ways around that. It must be aligned with the company strategy. Strategy contains certain milestones, and those must be reached to keep the company on track. Target setting for single years should reflect this. If you're not hitting your targets, you're not hitting your milestones. If you're not hitting your milestones, you're not hitting your strategy. And if you're not hitting your strategy, you have a big problem. But too often, the target set for individual years becomes sort of detached from the overall strategy. And if you are behind, if you're making a plan based on the most reasonable estimates of the coming year, and you're falling short of those milestones, shouldn't you act on that? Either by finding mitigating actions to bridge the gap or by rerouting your strategy. Of course, could also be in the odd case that you are ahead of your strategy. Maybe you need to be more ambitious, right? But why detach it? It really shouldn't be the case. So, Kenneth, I mean, I'm making some claims here that you can kind of reforecast your business in a week. Is that realistic, do you see, for some of the bigger companies, but for companies in general?
Yeah, I think it's very realistic. I mean, basically, if you have this metric model or the driver models defined where everyone is on the same page. Everyone is aligned. The different departments work together, cross-departmental. You have a mutual understanding. You have a buy-in of each and every of the senior levels of the different departments. Then again, you have the regular chats or the regular meetings with the different shareholders and stakeholders from finance function. So you pretty much know how your metrics change over time because you have consistent data. And based on that, it's basically just updating it with the actuals. So if you have a good driver set, updating this driver set with the actuals, this should be a thing which is, it's very possible to have it updated in 1 week. So, I mean, we pretty much also do that here. So I've done that in former roles. So I definitely think it's a realistic picture, depending on the size of the company, depending on the mutual alignment and on the really KPIs. I mean, key performance indicators, as the name states, you should not overthink it. So, of course, there are like hundreds of KPIs which you can track. But if you just define on the basic 5 or 7 or 8 different KPIs per role, per department, or for the whole company, then you have an easy driver-built model which can be in place and updated on a fairly easy and regular basis.
Yeah, I kind of thought you'd be saying that. So I think the forecasting bit is simple. How about the target setting part? I mean, it just seems to always, you kind of had this detachment. You know, why do you think that is? And do you have sort of suggestions of better aligning annual target setting if that's what we must do with the overall strategy?
I mean, that's the point where the dialogue is very important. I mean, on the one hand side, you see the finance figures. So you can do basic math and just say, this is what I would expect from a finance side. And then, of course, it's also the idea of hearing the business, seeing what happens in the world. So what external impact do you have on your business model, on your company? Yeah, success, basically. So that's something where you can do this supportive with the model bits, and you can then discuss that with the business and adjust it to whatever you see is out there. So that's where the benefit comes in from the agile planning.
Great. And indeed, it is all about the dialogue. I mean, we'll get back to canvas a little bit later here, right? But that's essentially where it is, right? When stating that the budget process is broken and not fit for modern times, one main objection is typically brought to the table. It's not the numbers that are important, but the dialogue around them and what we want to achieve for the coming year. This kind of alignment from everyone in the company, you know, getting behind the plan, getting behind the action initiatives. Because if you are motivated and you are aligned to achieve things in a company, you're much more likely to achieve your strategy and your goals. So I couldn't agree more that this dialogue is definitely the key, right? This is where we create that alignment around our current performance and agree on ambitions for the future. And with a machine-produced forecast in hand, we can move the discussion from what the numbers should be to how to make it happen. And this might sound like a very simple trick, but it makes such a difference. If we predict based on reasonable models, and of course, those need to be refined over time and so on, you don't just make them in a fortnight. But if we can see based on reasonable estimates that we're going to be, 10% behind, you can easily, if it's a man-made forecast or a person-made forecast, get into a big discussion around, I don't really agree to this number and we should change this absolute input here and so on. And you spend 70% of the time probably discussing what the number should be. And then you anyway come up with a number that, okay, it might be exactly where you're supposed to be from a strategic point of view, but no one can see themselves in it and no one have mitigating actions or bridging actions to actually hit that target. So it kind of becomes a bit futile, right? So if you have, okay, the machine says we're going to be X and we need to be X plus 5% to achieve our strategic milestones, okay, then you can discuss what do we do to get those extra 5%. Or if you're ahead, should we be more ambitious? Are we actually believing in the actions we have? Are they sound enough? Those are the relevant discussions to have, not what the number should be. So suddenly two of the three elements in the equation are given. The forecast, latest machine-based estimate, and the target aligned with strategic milestones. Now you can use the process to discuss what resources are needed to bridge the gap or build on strengths if your forecast is ahead of the target. Finance should play a strong role in those dialogues and eventually consolidate the resource requests needed to deliver the plan. Together with the senior management team, the head of FP&A and CFO can then facilitate a discussion around what to prioritize and what to deselect. This makes for a much more value-adding process. It won't save some from disappointment when their resource requests are denied. That will still happen, but at least they'll feel it's been a fair process where the project or business unit just had a weaker case than the quote-unquote internal competition. These tweaks won't necessarily revolutionize your budget process, although if you go too all in on integrated business planning or beyond budgeting or something like concepts, it probably will. But they will surely make you a winner in the upcoming budget season. So we'll go to Candice first, but we'll definitely also open the floor for questions and perspectives on how you see this approach working for your company. But just before opening up the full stage, Candice, I'm sure you've been, you know, as head of FP&A, in those dialogues and discussions with senior management around how do we then finally land the budget. Could you maybe share some of your thoughts or experiences from being part of this process?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's also very important to, as you said, it's important to have the dialogue. It's important to see what are the interests of the different departments. And it's also important to evaluate projects and maybe also like cancel some projects, bring in new projects. So it's basically the more data that you have, the more consistent the data is, the more data-driven your decisions can be made. And then you can basically put price tags on, should we now invest our resources in module A or module B or whatever. So that's where you can basically, given the information you have, you can decide on what is the best practice to do or what brings in the best benefit to reach your next milestone. And you can also just change the priorities of the projects which you do and just need to make sure that everyone is in line with that. Now.
Great. And maybe just a final question before we have Kenan and Rajesh also coming up here. What do you see as the most challenging part of this resource allocation discussion and what would you do to overcome it?
On the one hand side, of course, you need to make sure that the data which you have is consistent on which you base your decisions. So it's not it's the worst thing that could happen that you have inconsistent data and therefore do the wrong decision making. And then, of course, it is also taking this into consideration in the whole big picture. So how does that pay into the overall company strategy, to the overall company goal? So is it just a quick win, which does not last for a longer time, or does it pay into the long-term goals which you have now?
Thanks a lot for sharing those perspectives, Candice. We'll open up the floor here. So Kenan, welcome to the stage. Feel free to unmute, introduce yourself, and ask questions or share perspectives.
Hi there, Anders. I joined one of these meetings before. It was really insightful, and thank you for inviting me again. So yeah, my name is Kenan Bohan-Tavakoli. I'm a second year accounting and finance student at the University of Southampton. So I've been listening to your conversation, both Anders, and nice to meet you guys, and nice to meet you again, Anders. But one of the things that the first question that pops into my mind is, because personally, I'm trying to build a few businesses, small businesses here and there. They're rather small projects, but sometimes when we need investment from more senior people, we need to do some budgets. And because I'm not the only one building the business and I'm building it with other students or other professionals, one of the things that takes a lot of time is the budgeting and the little questions. For example, how do we increase this or how do we decrease this? How do we decrease our costs? How do we increase our revenues and more specific stuff? So I would like some tips or hints to how, as I guess a future business owner, you can determine which ones are really important and which ones you could spend less time on. Because yeah, one of my struggles personally is to not be over controlling the whole business and trying to be like, okay, I want this figure to be this. This is one of the things that's hard for me because I'm thinking to myself, if this is wrong, what might be the consequences later? So yeah, my question to you guys is, how could you control this? Determine for yourself which one's important and which ones you can spend less time on. So yeah, that's my question to you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Kenan. Kenan, you want to share some perspectives on this?
Yeah, I mean, one thing which I would say on that, to maybe not overthink things. I mean, if you have a driver-based model, you pretty much already have in mind what really drives your business. And of course, no one can really exactly predict the future. It's again around this whole storytelling process. And so if you found a new business, then of course you don't have too much historical data to rely on. However, you can get some input out of other competitors, out of whatever. I mean, you have, like, for many businesses, you have pretty much the best practice metrics which you follow, and then you try to translate it. What does that mean for my business? And if you have something in mind how to develop your business, then you can basically fine-tune your assumptions. But again, making sure not to overthink it, not to go into too much detail. So it has to be like a construct in itself, which is consistent. So if you have, for example, increase on the headcounts, or you have like the different ratios, so you have to see on the long row of the months which you try to predict, do these ratios stay in a stable method, or if they change, is the ratio which you're looking at, or the metric you're looking at, is that realistic from the movement? So if you see that, for example, some metrics goes through the roof, like, then of course you need to question it, does it make sense or not? So one thing which I really am in favor of is having the long rows of the trending lines, and taking these trending lines and then making sure, do the metrics which I see in the trending line, does it make sense because it's a scaling effect? Does it make sense because it's a proportional effect? And that's why, rather keeping simple models with very important drivers, and then trying to make sure that this long row of figures, the trend, yeah, compiles with your story, which you're trying to tell. Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks, Giannis. I hope that was a good answer. Kenan, we are coming towards the end of the show, but I just want to give the floor also to Rajesh. Rajesh, welcome to the stage. Feel free to unmute, introduce yourself, and share your perspectives.
Very, very happy afternoon, everyone here. I'm super excited to be a good listener here. Quite glad the kind of community, the kind of so far now the journey is being discussed in terms of the practices what we follow. Now, keeping the future back of mind, you see, we are in an era not as where we used to be, arrivals of everyday new innovations, be it ChatGPT, analytics, data, all these things which are we as an individual need to embrace. Now, in the given scenario, when we look at from the director's standpoint, from the board's standpoint, my question is for esteemed experts here. How the data which is being presented, like the automation, say for example, if it is being manually done, which oftenly we put our assumption in it. So is there any plans to inject certain analytics, which is AI-driven analytics, which helps to give faster decision-making and the accuracy? Say for example, there are possible error might take place in as we operate as an individual standpoint. But what is the formula? What is the magic sauce to success to bring better and fast decision making when we talk of any budget per se? So is there any work being initiated so far now which gives a better impact on the meetings what we conduct most of the time? Because half of the time we discuss who did what to minimize those wastages out of the board. How can we filter down to top three actionable which the data is being presented by the account teams and CFO that goes on to action mode, rather again discussing and reducing it by X percent and Y percent. It is purely on a human basis, not analytics, which is a third eye, which may give us better insight to have an excellent decision making for the business, future of the business. So I leave Anders to decide on who is going to answer on it. I believe I'm able to express my questions well to you.
Thanks. Thanks, Rajesh. Yeah, I'm going to just throw it over to Giannis because he obviously works for a company that is very much at the forefront of developing these things. So Giannis, maybe you can share some perspectives and then we'll close down the show for today.
Yes, sure. Of course. I mean, the idea is if you have a very good adaptive tool planning method, so you can bring in mass data, and you can use that for different simulations. So that's where you really have the benefit of AI, where you really have the benefit of interpreting long historical data and bringing in some connections between different metrics and different drivers. And those are then identified. And then you can basically use the common sense of the FP&A of the business people to decide which of the scenarios which we planned is eventually the scenario we want to go with for the next 6 months, 12 months, 15 months, whatever. So the good thing about having the mass data, the good thing about having the AI is that you can learn from 10 years history, whatever, put all the data into that, and then create scenarios where you can then decide on what is the best way to go down the street for the next. Yeah. sprint or whatever.
Yes.
So that's where you really have the benefit in these adaptive planning tools, where you can then basically say, okay, I'm able to do lots of simulations within a short period of time, and you don't have to go through the spreadsheets and have some errors just through some formulas or whatever. And so that's where you really can accelerate your business.
Thanks for sharing that, Giannis. Kenna and Rajesh, thanks a lot for coming to the stage, asking great questions. Also, Giannis, thanks a lot for being here today, for sharing great insights into budgeting and how seeing it from an FP&A perspective. And of course, thanks a lot to Jedox for sponsoring today's show. We truly, truly appreciate that. Thanks to the more than, we have 135 people listening in right now. Thanks a lot to everyone that listened in. I hope you had some great input and inspiration for the upcoming budget process. And remember, you can always reach out to myself or Giannis, I'm sure, as well on LinkedIn and get some further thoughts and input there. We'll be back next week with the Hashtag Finance Master show, and we hope to see you there. So thanks a lot, everyone.
Thank you, Anders. Have a brilliant week ahead. Thank you so very much, and God bless all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having
me. Thanks,
Anders. You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?